Psalm 103 tonight on this Sunday evening prior to Thanksgiving Day. Why don't we just take this psalm and express tonight gratitude, or as I call it, thankful for benefits? Are you aware that the Lord gives you benefits? He gives you and me so many benefits. There's no way we could exhaust that subject. Not even could we begin to touch the tip of the iceberg. But I do want to read the opening five verses of Psalm 103. And I want us to think on the theme of thankful for benefits. Are you at Psalm 103, verse 1? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His, say it with me, benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. As we consider being thankful for benefits, I want us to permit verses 1 and 2 to be the introduction to what he says in verses 3 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Speak well of him. Declare his glory from the depths of our soul. And with everything that is within us, let us bless his holy name. Now, why would the psalmist make that statement? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. The phrase in Hebrew, forget not, means don't be oblivious. Forget not what? All his benefits. Benefits is a word in the Hebrew language that means do not be oblivious to his good treatment of you. Do not be oblivious to his service to you. Do not be oblivious to the reward that he gives you. For as we think of benefits, we think of receiving God's good treatment. We think of how God serves us and all that he just freely does for us and how that he rewards us in so very many ways. I had someone make almost this exact statement to me this morning as I was teasing someone about the care that the wife had given to him during his illness. And he said, I just can't even begin to tell you. She has just served and done everything. And I said to him, you don't have to tell me anything. I said, for 41 years I have lived with a woman that had I had Solomon's wives and his concubines, they could not have collectively done more for me than this one woman named Beth has done for me. What has she done for me? She's just served me. She's just taken care of me. She's given the word good treatment to me. She has rewarded me. And not because I deserved it, but because that's just what's in her heart. Many of you are right now in your hearts thinking of what your spouse has done for you. And you ought to. But folks, if we could say that about our spouse, and I can, and I think many of you can, how much more should I say that about the Lord Jesus? Let me tell you something. When the writer said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, don't be oblivious to the way he has served you, the good treatment he's given you, and the reward that has come your way, all of which are undeserved. You say, well, why is it undeserved, Pastor? Well, what did he owe me? I tell you what he owed me, judgment. Had he done what was fair and right, he would judge me and kick me in the seat of the pants. But all that he's done for me was undeserved. That's why we call him a gracious God. Now, that for an introduction, what are the blessings that the writer alludes to? Verse 3, First of all, he forgives all thine iniquity. So we have the blessing of God's forgiveness. He forgives. That means that he pardons. When a pardon is granted, a charge has been removed. So he removes all of our iniquities, meaning our faults and our moral evil is involved in iniquities. Another word that is involved in iniquity is our perversities. Did you ever misspeak? Did you ever, as I did on occasion, not extremely often, but can remember a time or two, even as a child on a playground at school, say something that you wouldn't have wanted your mom and dad to have heard you say? That's perverseness. And God heard it. And he said, then the blessing of God's forgiveness as he removes and pardons the faults, the moral evil, and the perversity, he forgives all about us that is so unlike him. So I suggest to you tonight, if we're going to thank God for benefits, let's thank him for the blessing of his forgiveness. Did you know God will forgive you of things that mankind won't forgive you of? And aren't you glad? I had someone that attended the luncheon that the pastor's class did yesterday for the abbots, and we were just talking about the nature of God and his goodness. And he said, I don't mind telling you, this thing with Wayne Abbott has kind of rattled me. And I said, sir, I don't know you well enough to say this to you personally, but I'm speaking generally. It is high time some folks who go to church get rattled. We've gone to sleep at the house of God. And God in his mercy uses things to awaken us. And sometimes, and I don't know God's purpose ever with Wayne or anybody else, but sometimes things happen to Wayne, not for Wayne, but for the rest of us. I remember when Adrian Rogers, it was announced that he had cancer. It was terminal. It was, if I remember correctly, it started in his colon and had already spread to his liver. And it was not a good report, and they did not give any hope. And he did not live all that long. And I had a preacher say to me, well, you know, I just never thought about Adrian Rogers dying. And I wanted to say, huh? He's a member of the human race. Of course he's going to die. And you see, the issue is with many of us, that book says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You may feel better tonight than anyone in this church house, and you may be the first of this group to go out into eternity. And tonight what matters is, have you ever really known the forgiving grace of God where he, according to verse 3, has forgiven your iniquities? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted him to forgive them, and have you ever repented of your iniquities? Have you ever said, dear God, I have been morally evil. I have been perverse. You say, well, I've just never been a morally evil person. If your heart was exposed on a video screen for what has been in it, we are all members of the human race morally evil. Because we did not do things with our bodies does not mean that we are not morally evil. Folks, if there was not moral evil, it is in the world because it's in men's hearts. And men many times do not express what is in the heart because they're not willing to pay the awful price of embarrassment for what would happen if they expressed it. I remember hearing Papa Sam say many years ago, Wayne, if folks in our churches thought they could get by with it, it would absolutely shock you as to what people you preach to on Sunday would do if they thought they could get by with it. We are a people whose hearts are dirty. Christ died to change the heart, and we're in need of his forgiveness. And so, we among our blessings tonight that we give thankful for, we are thankful for God's forgiveness. And don't you ever think that it took more grace to forgive somebody else than it does you. Because, my friend, when you think it took more grace to forgive somebody else than you, that means that you think you're kind of goody-two-shoes and I just wasn't such a bad person. Let me tell you, if nobody had had any sin but you, one half of one of your sins would have sent Christ to the cross. And what happened at the cross happened Yes, for the sins of everybody, but it happened for your sin, and your sin would have cost just as much. Because whether the sin was in your life or my life, the wages of any sin is... All right, that's the scripture. So we have the blessing of God's forgiveness. Number two, in the latter part of verse 3, he said, and he heals all thy diseases. We have the blessing of God's healing. Now, scholars tell us that in the Hebrew language, that probably, because it's not there contextually, it probably in that particular context is not speaking of physical healing, but it's speaking of spiritual healing. But let's look at the bigger picture. We believe God does heal us of our physical diseases. But you see, our souls are subject to infirmities just like our bodies are. Our bodies are subject, let's think about what our bodies are subject to. I had someone tell me on the phone just two or three days ago, I need shoulder replacements of two shoulders. My shoulders literally need to be replaced. That person needs some type of healing to take place. I had someone tell me that a person that they know maybe yesterday or this morning was headed to the hospital thinking they might have appendicitis. Folks, they need some type of healing. That's what takes place with the body. Many of us in this room are part of the fraternity of carrying stents in our arteries. We didn't volunteer for that, but we found out one day through pain or short of breath that something wasn't right, and they found out we had some type of blockage. We were in need of some type of help physically. That takes place. Others have this awful C word called cancer, and others have many other types of diseases, and some of you have all kinds of artificial parts. You're kind of like Bill Sturm. He said, as many surgeries as I'm having and many replacements of parts, if I don't hurry up and die, I ain't going to get to heaven with nothing original. But can I talk to you not just about the body, but can I speak to you about the soul? The soul has similar things. The soul has lust, and the soul has hate. And the soul has anger. And Jesus said, if you're angry, you're guilty of murder. The soul has jealousy. And sometimes the soul has discouragement. And the soul can have depression. I'm not qualified to speak of clinical depression as a result of something biological versus depression that's because of an evil spirit. But I live by the philosophy that anything you have that is legitimately physical, demons will try to take advantage of and make worse in your mind to discourage you. We can be people of fear. That's a problem of soul that needs healing. We certainly are people of guilt. And we can be people of doubt. And just as certain as diseases can take over the body and take away physical life, the diseases of the soul can begin to deaden us toward the things of God. And the more you have a problem in the body that is not repaired, the body loses weight and becomes emaciated. And earlier tonight, we mentioned that Brother Harry Nielsen is down to 112 pounds. And I didn't ask Buster this question, but I imagine if I asked him, he'd say, oh, and the dad's doing a lot better and we're grateful. But if you just looked at dad, you can tell dad's been sick. Well, folks, in the soul, the soul becomes deadened and weakened and emaciated and lifeless and weak compared to what it was when it was strong. That phrase, by the way, he healeth all thy diseases, is written in the present tense. And tonight we ought to thank God for the benefit that he really can heal both body, but he can heal soul. See, the devil tells you that you've gone too far. The devil says that you can't get out of this trap. The devil says that you have absolutely got yourself into a position and you can never be any more, that God cares nothing about you, and that people won't. And folks, what you find with folk who get in this type frame of mind is that before it's over, they are emaciated with all types of soulish problems. And rather than just come before God, who is the great physician who can heal body and spirit, the heart is so bound up in deception that it starts being somebody else's fault. Have you noticed that with people? They get themselves in a problem and they've got to blame somebody else. I mean this not to be discouraging. I mean this to almost be humorous, but it's the truth. I've had in all these years of ministry people tell me that my husband or wife, as the case was, left me because of you. You told them to leave me. And I have had just a very few times, you count on one hand, where I said to someone, I would get out of that household because your life is in danger, and I would separate to save my life. I never did recommend divorce, but I did recommend separation on a few times. And I sat with my wife some years ago, and I just felt like that there was, you know how it's just like something's between you and somebody and you don't know what it is? And so I just said to the person, happened to be a lady, I said, is everything fine between us? I've done all I know to do. Have I missed doing something for you? Is anything else we can do for you? And she said, I suppose, but she said, it's just one thing. She said, I have not felt very good toward you. And I said, I'm sorry. What can I do to fix that? And she said, if it hadn't been for you, I'd left my husband a long time ago. And I thought to myself, I've been accused of separating them. Now I'm accused of keeping them together. Folks, it takes, to get right with God, it takes honesty. And while you do need to be honest with God, I have found that there's somebody you're going to have to be honest with before you're honest with God. And that's that person you look at in the mirror. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, you won't be honest with God. And most of the time, it just requires this. Dear Lord, to tell you the truth, I'm so messed up at the moment. I don't even know how I got to this place altogether. But I know this. I'm not blaming anybody at this point but me. And Lord, if anybody else is to blame, I'm going to leave that to your department. And you just take care of that. As far as I'm concerned, this is all about what I've done wrong and the mess I've got my life into. And Lord, I don't want to spend the rest of my life here. I don't know what I can become, but I know this. I can become more turning all this mess over to you than I can me trying to handle it. And so, dear Lord, I found in your word where you can heal all of our diseases, and my soul just needs a fresh healing. Would you be merciful to me? And I got good news for you. The God of Scripture is a God who will be merciful to the diseases of soul and will begin to heal you. You don't have to go through life hating people. You don't have to go through life believing that, you know, I tell you, I'm just using illustration here now. Don't wake up in the middle of this and say, Brother Wayne said something. Here's some of the things you hear. I'd have done better, but my daddy was a sorry man. I tell you, my mother left us and my dad had us to raise. She was a sorry woman, and she may have been, or he may have been. But folks, God will never hold you back from becoming what he wants you to become. If you'll let him have your life, he will take up the slack that you missed and make of you what you need to be. And you won't have to go through life saying, I just never did achieve because of daddy. I just never did achieve because of mama. I just never did achieve because my third grade teacher would not do so and so. And I had a bad teacher. Folks, I had one or two teachers. It just wasn't something to write home and tell about. Or, you know, I just had this, Bill Sturm used to laugh about this because of his eating habits. He said, Brother Wayne, they changed my formula when I was a baby and I never did get over it. Now, he didn't mean a word of that. He's just being funny. I've heard others imply all but say, well, you know, my rocky horse died when I was 3 years old and it's just kind of warped me and I've never been the same. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm sorry for all of us when things were not like they should have been. But can I tell you that God will be all he to you that he needs to be and you need for him to be? You don't have to become what your brother is. You don't have to become what your sister is. You don't have to achieve what daddy did. I remember hearing at the time, very well-known Baptist preacher make this statement. He said, you know, if I became president of the Southern Baptist Convention, my daddy would look at me and say, is that the best you can do? Well, can I say two things about that? Number one, that's a sorry daddy. Number two, don't you feel like that you've got to have any mortal's approval in order to please God? Just seek God's approval. Now, do we generally want mom and dad's approval? Yeah, but if you don't get it, that doesn't make you brand X. And let me say to every other man and woman in the room, the mentorship of what you can mean in a young man's life that never had a daddy, or ladies, that you can mean in a young girl's life that never had a mama, you cannot put an adequate estimate on the value of what you can become in that person's life. Because, you know, folks, if you had a wonderful mom and dad, they didn't know everything. Everybody needs mentors in their life. And so tonight we just thank God that He can heal whatever has been messed up in your past. And if you don't believe that, then you're in the greatest need of healing of anybody in the room. Nothing is too difficult for our God. Number three, in the first part of verse 4, He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. So here, if He redeems, here is the benefit of the blessing of God's redemption. You know what it means to redeem when He says He redeems thy life from destruction? Redeem means that He rescues it from danger. He rescues it from all kinds of corruption. And to redeem means it's to be bought back. He takes you who are under the sentence of sin and in the domain of the devil, and He purchases you with His own blood to take you out of the kingdom of darkness and make you an instant citizen of the kingdom of light. And we praise God that He does that, and He is blessing you as the God of redemption. That's one of the great benefits, that you have been rescued in Christ. Christ is the ark of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Noah and his family went in the ark and was spared from destruction. In the New Testament, unless you are in Christ, you are open to all manner of storms that will destroy you. But in Christ, you are safe. And there will be no storm, temporal or eternal, that can destroy you spiritually. And though death may eat away at my body, and though I may become with increasing age deteriorating and dissolving, as Paul said the earthly tabernacle is, in our human spirit we are being renewed day by day for the ultimate life that Christ has for us in His presence, as we shall be with Him and serve Him for all eternity. So we give thanks tonight for the blessing of God's redemption. Folks, He bought you. If you're saved tonight, He owns you two ways. Number one, He made you. He fashioned you in your mama's womb. And number two, He purchased you by His own blood. That's good news. There's a fourth thing, and that's in verse 4. Not only does He redeem thy life from destruction, but it says, He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. So here's the blessing of God's loving kindness and tender mercy. Now, to crown it, folks, where does a crown belong? On the head. Why do you generally find a crown on the head? What does that imply? It implies kingship or position. He's made us a kingdom of kings and priests. That's what the Bible teaches. And He's given you a crown. He's made you somebody. The black singer Ethel Waters said on one occasion, God, He don't sponsor no flops. Now, we all mess up along the way, and we may have flopped along the way, but because you have failed does not mean you are a failure. The text of Scripture says, He crowneth us. That means, can I remind you of your position? That's what the writer is saying. You have a position of being in God. God in you, Christ in you, and you in Christ, and you're somebody in His family. But notice He says He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Loving kindness is favor. And tender mercy means that God knows our weakness, and He deals kindly with us. life has its trials and its temptations and its trouble. Psalm 103, later in verse 10, says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Folks, aren't we glad God does not reward us according to our iniquities? Amen. So we have the blessing of God's loving kindness and tender mercy. I don't know the kind of mother you had, but can I tell you the kind I had? You could do something wrong, and it wasn't going to be wait till your daddy gets here. My mother would jerk a knot in you so quick, you wouldn't know what hit you. But at the same time, it was for the purpose of correction, not punishing you to get evil. She wanted your life back in shape so you could live under blessing. And the text of Scripture says, God is not trying to reward you for your iniquity. He can jerk a knot in you, but it's to straighten you up so you can live in blessing land, not because he's wanting to hurt you. It's alarming how many people sit in church on Sunday and their general understanding is this: if I'll really do good, God will bless me, but if I mess up anywhere along the way, God's really going to hurt me and get even with me. Folks, that's the way the pagans worship the false gods. As long as you appease the false gods, good things will fall out on you. But, buddy, if you ever do mess up with one of the false gods, they're going to rain down judgment on you. Folks, this God says to us in the message of the gospel, you have messed up. And I am doing something through my son to shield you of what should come your way. And on the cross, Isaiah said that Jehovah poured out on him, laid on him the iniquity of us all so that he won't have to lay and judge us according to our iniquities. Now, if you remain a Christ rejecter, he's going to pour out wrath and judgment on you, not because he takes pleasure in that, but because you reject the only one who can take that in your place. So tonight we rejoice that we have the blessing of God's loving kindness and tender mercy. Folks, tonight praise him that he is loving and kind and he has tender mercy for you. Last but not least is verse 5. Here is the blessing of God's good things. Look at it. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. You may notice things is italicized. The text says, who satisfies thy mouth with good. Folks, if your mouth is satisfied with good, what comes to your mind? What does that mean? Huh? Something to eat. Does anybody in here tonight like stuff that you consider good to eat? Do you like that? I mean, could anybody tonight force down a chocolate chip cookie? Could anybody tonight force down an ice cream cone? I mean, if somebody just pulled a pistol on you and said, you eat this warm apple pie or I'm going to shoot you. I mean, I believe you could probably afford to do that, couldn't you? Some things, folks, satisfy our mouth. Now, when our mouth is satisfied with something good, what is the effect? Pleasure. Endorphins are released. They tell us that the endorphins that are released for those of us who are chocoholics. I remember years ago, Sharon Kennedy back there, she had a hat. That's before she married Patrick. She said, forget love. On that hat said, forget love. I'd rather fall into chocolate. Folks, I'm with Sharon. I'd rather fall into chocolate. Did you know they tell us that the endorphins for those who love chocolate that are released are similar to the feelings of passion you have when you're loving your mate? Now, some of y'all saying, Pastor, that just ain't that good. I understand. But when the text of Scripture says that he satisfies your mouth with good things, look at me. Pleasure. Joy. You know, occasionally you can use the word lust in a good way. Fulfills a lust that you have for the taste of something pleasurable. Nobody ever came in from work and said to their, no man did and said to his wife, or if she was working late and he was fixing supper, the wife didn't come in and say to him, what did you fix tonight that's not fit to eat? Nobody said that. You want something that's good. He fills your mouth metaphorically with things. If you could understand and let him fill up your mouth, it would be pleasure like you have never known. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. By the way, if you're taking something in your mouth that is good, do you suppose you do get some type of nourishment and strength from that? Now, let me talk to you about that spiritually. The good things that's mentioned here do not really and really cannot come ultimately from things we see. Now, let me tell you why I say that. If we would enjoy a chocolate chip cookie, can you just eat one and say, well, praise God, I'll never need another one of them. Y'all remember that Lay's potato chip used to say, you can't just eat just one. You know, part of the reason you can't eat just one is that it doesn't give complete satisfaction. And so the things, the good things he mentions are not really things you can see with the naked eye, because the things that we can see with the naked eye are pleasures that are but for a moment. They involve and give to us a temporary satisfaction at best. If something is visible and tangible, it is generally something that's temporary. But the good things that God puts into a heart and a life are things that really last. And there are things that will still be meaningful to you when you are finally called into his presence. Let me give you conclude with an illustration. In the 1860s, there was a ministerial student at a seminary in Evanston, Illinois, by the name of Edward Spencer. And while a student, Spencer was a member of a life-saving crew. And one time when a ship ran aground on the shore of nearby Lake Michigan, Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters, and the story reveals that he actually saved and rescued 17 passengers. As a result of his heroic efforts that day, Spencer's health was permanently damaged, and in a very few short years, he died as a result of what he never really overcame after that incident. The minister who conducted his funeral noted his heroism that day in the frigid waters of Lake Michigan, and the minister sadly noted that as far as they ever knew, not one of the 17 people he rescued ever thanked him for saving their life. You say, Pastor, that's terrible. It really is. But it's not as terrible as Wayne Robertson and you tonight, having been blessed by a holy God and given the benefits we've been given, and sometimes become a bunch of grumblers and fail to remember that among the many benefits we have the blessing of God's forgiveness, the blessing of how he can heal the soul, the blessing of his redemption as he's rescued us from danger, the blessing of his loving kindness and tender mercy, and the blessing that he just fills our mouth with good. Father in heaven, on this Sunday evening, prior to the week that we refer to Thanksgiving, we as your children have reason to be thankful every day for a multitude of benefits that you shower upon us. And in this service tonight, maybe you would like to begin a fresh work of cleansing, redeeming, forgiving, making whole, cleansing, challenging, taking out some old stuff, making some things new, and just, Lord, giving to us where fog has existed over our spiritual eyes a clarity to consider where we could be if it wasn't for your sustaining grace. You continue to shower us in more ways than we're even aware. Lord, we don't want to be people with ungrateful hearts. We just want to be people with sensitive spirits that's able to tell when you have poured out once again your goodness to us. May we every day not be so beset by things we feel are not as they should be. May we be overcome with goodness for the many things that you've given us that could only be described that way because you have given us things that humanly speaking shouldn't be, but because you're a gracious God, you've loaded us daily and filled us with good. May your goodness once again lead us to repentance. May you bless each member of this congregation. Those who've watched tonight and will watch by live stream, may you do something even in their hearts. And may you draw us closer to you so that the nearer we get to our heavenly home, the more prepared we will be. Thank you for being so patient, loving, and kind. Tonight we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor as our altar is open and there's an opportunity for you to respond?